Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey folks, before we start the show, make home your favorite new restaurant this winter with Omaha Steaks delivered straight to your door. Have you ever wondered what makes Omaha Steaks so good? Well, here's your answer. I figured it out. It's the aging process. Omaha Steaks are aged at least 21 days. That's where the magic happens. Try these mouthwatering steaks in the Butcher's Bestsellers package. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter the promo code VOICES into the search bar to save over 50% and secure exclusive pricing. Included in the Butcher's Bestsellers package are 4 iconic fork tender Butcher's cut filet mignons, 4 ultra juicy burgers, 4 savory pork chops, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 rich and decadent caramel apple tartlets, and so much more. In addition to getting more than 50% off, you also get 4 more chicken breasts and 4 more of those delicious burgers for free. All you have to do is visit omahasteaks.com, type VOICES into the search bar to order the Butcher's Bestsellers package today. Save 50% plus get 4 free chicken breasts and 4 burgers, all from the company that's been bringing people together for over 100 years. That's omahasteaks.com, type VOICES in the search bar. Again, omahasteaks.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA, covering the whole wide world.
Right on!
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Scores! Magic! One goal!
Well, let's have a look at the replay. William, move your head. Look at the size of that boy's head.
Shh.
I'm not kidding. It's like an orange on a toothpick.
Shh, you gotta give the boy a complex.
Well, that's a huge noggin. It's a virtual planetoid. Shh. Has its own weather system. Head, move!
Stuart, bring in the paper.
All right, Hen. Head, paper, no! Move that melon of yours and get the paper if you can. Hauling that gargantuan cranium about. I'm not kidding. That boy's head's like Sputnik. Spherical, but quite pointy in parts.
Well, that was offside, wasn't it? He'll be crying himself to sleep tonight on his huge pillow.
Bob Seska.
Bob Seska. You really are sick.
The Bob Seska Show.
I think we have a new metaphor for Matt Gaetz. From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, February 25, 2021, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, my name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 37 of the Biden-Harris administration, 621 days until the 22 midterms, and here they come. It is the Goth Ninjas, Jody Hamilton, T-Rex David Ferguson, and it's another Thursday show. Here we are. Jody Hamilton's at, of course, From the Bunker, the From the Bunker podcast, from -the-bunker.com, also on sexyliberal.com, part of the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network, your podcasting superstation. Again, that's sexyliberal.com, also on the Stephanie Miller Show. Jody Hamilton can be heard there every Tuesday, stephaniemiller.com. Also, David T-Rex Ferguson from the T-Rex Report podcast, also from Astral Summer, astralsummer.bandcamp.com. Okay, here we go. Goth Ninjas, welcome. Welcome to the show today. Thank you for joining me. Where do we begin today? So,
Scottish accents are just... Hey, do you guys know about the Scottish Mafia?
I don't know anything about the Scottish Mafia.
They'll make you an offer you can't understand.
Score! See, guys, I had a Scottish accent until I started going to school more than 2 hours a day.
Did you really? Can you still do it?
No, I can't. It's funny because we had my nanny and her husband. Thank you. Yes, I had a nanny. Both parents worked, people.
Yeah, people.
And so, and John ran the household, and Jessie was our nanny, and also she was the housekeeper.
Yeah.
And so, they were from Glasgow.
Mm. Oh.
And I was an infant when they started working for my parents. Carrie was already 3.5 years, almost. Well, she was a little over 3 years old when I was born. So she was, you know, going to preschool and stuff at that point. So as I'm living with them, basically, more hours of the day than anybody else, I start sounding like them. Now, my parents think that's just how I talk because they hear John and Jesse, you know, right? And so they had some friends from England come over to visit when I was about 4 years old.
Yeah.
And I went into the living room to say goodnight. And so I guess I walked in and I said, goodnight, Mom, goodnight, Dad, you know, whatever, kisses, hugs, kisses. And I trotted out. And the English friend said, I have never heard such an American with such a thick Scottish brogue.
Yeah. I'm so jealous. I would love to be
good
able
night,
to.
Goodnight, Ma. Goodnight, Da. Go
yeah.
to bed.
Well, Gittles, you know, the Gittles are over there. To me, John and Jesse did not have an accent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So, just the. They sounded normal to me.
That's how they
right?
talk. Yeah, of course.
That's how they talked, right? But Jesse's sister, as far as I was concerned, she had a really thick accent, weirdly. And then my friends would come over and couldn't understand a word out of it because a Glasgow accent is hardcore Scottish.
Well, I'm so glad hearing this story that you're referring to your nanny as a nanny and not as an au pair. Because if you started referring to her as an au pair, I would have to disown you as a friend.
Well, first off, they didn't call them then at the time. And secondly, John and Jesse were in their 40s.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I think an au pair is kind of a younger person.
Oh, is it really? Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I'm not up
to
speed.
Yeah, an au pair is in general a young female lady person who comes in to destroy a marriage. I mean, take care of the children.
Well, by the way, that was from So I Married an Axe Murderer, the Mike Myers movie from sometime in the late 90s. One of the great scenes. He played like multiple characters in that, including his own dad, who was Scottish. And then the kid had just literally a giant head. So they just did a whole
like an orange and a toothpick.
Yeah, it's like virtual planetoid. See,
you can drag that huge noggin out and get the paper.
So I thought immediately of Matt Gaetz. So we have a whole new reference point anytime Matt Gaetz is in the news. So that's
a great, huge head on him.
Cranium.
Giant pillar.
That's the best part. He's going to cry himself to sleep on his huge pillow.
His huge My Pillow pillow.
That's right. Exactly. So are you guys watching Trump's speech at CPAC on Sunday? Because I'm going to.
No.
Oh, hell no.
I'm watching that. I'm going to. I think I'm going to live tweet it because I'm just so fucking crazy for wanting to subject myself to it. But to a certain extent now, I feel better doing it because there's no threat, or at least there's no immediate threat. Right. So it's going to be a little bit more relaxing to cover that whatever nightmarish 2 hours that's going to be, that he's just going to go off with all of his penned up madness from the past few months.
His tax returns are now in the hands of the DA in Manhattan. So that's going to be on his little pea brain.
He's going to be raging, and I'm expecting something on par with his CPAC 2019 speech, which was beyond anything that he had ever done before. That was his most maniacal speech ever, and I dare anyone to challenge me. Prove me wrong on
that
one.
You came back from that kind of glassy-eyed, half your hair turned white. You were just like, it was horrible.
Oh, yeah. It was 2.5 hours. He went on for 2.5 hours. It was one of those things where I'm live tweeting it, and I'm going, oh, is it Monday already? Shit, I've been doing this for... It seemed like it was going on for hours and hours. And it seemed like I was like up all night, you know, live tweeting that because it never ended. And the worst part about it wasn't necessarily the length, but all of the madness that was shoehorned and crowbarred into that 2.5 hours. I mean, weird, crazy badger faces he was doing and voices and performance art and flailing and everything you could put. It was like a best of. It was like... The Stones performing Satisfaction. It was like a it was nonstop. Everything that is crazy about Trump compacted into one singular speech. If you want to go back and look at it, what's wrong with you? So this weekend should probably be about the same, if not worse, because he's got less to lose now. So he's going to let his freak flag fly this weekend.
The whole thing is going to be about the election.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's his E-Day fix, or however you pronounce it.
The election, like, cancel culture. It's going to be like, obviously.
Witch hunt.
Yeah.
List of grievances.
Hunt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything from the 2016 election night to the 2020 election night, the witch hunt and the Russia, Russia, Russia. And then there's going to be the YMCA at the end. And he's still not going to realize what that song's about. So and of course, I will be there to walk you through it, tweeting, because I'm just fucking nuts. That's where I am right now. So let's see here. Here's a topic that we haven't really talked about on this show so far, since it's been an issue over the past couple of weeks, and that is the minimum wage. Right now, the Senate parliamentarian, as far as I know, as we're recording this, the Senate parliamentarian Elizabeth McDonough hasn't come up with a decision yet as to whether or not they can put the $15 minimum wage into this reconciliation COVID relief bill.
Bernie Sanders had the best argument. I think they're going to allow it.
Are they really?
Yeah, because it basically does affect the general economy like this bill does.
Yeah.
And Bernie Sanders' argument is solid.
It's a no-brainer. A minimum wage is a no-fucking-brainer. And
no.
This, and I don't know why it's taken this long to do this thing. I mean, you talk about, you know, the other side of the coin, and we have had how many different tax cut bills that have been passed in the last 20 years since the $15 minimum wage has been on the table? I think the first time it was ever proposed was 2002. And it has been this long without any action along those lines. But countless tax cuts along the way. That's fine. We can afford that. But somehow we can't afford to do a $15 minimum wage. And here's my thing with this. I have owned now three, maybe four, if my memory serves, small businesses in the last 22 years. And so I know a thing or two about running a small business and putting together a budget, putting together a business plan, and so on. While I have made myriad mistakes along the way, I have fucked up left and right, like most people do as they work their way through a small business. Right. But if you can't afford a $15 minimum wage inside your business plan, you're doing it wrong. It has nothing to do with the minimum wage. It has everything to do with you. That's the problem. See, it's the price of doing business. It's like you put together a business plan at the beginning of opening a store or whatever, a service company, what have you. You put together that business plan and you incorporate into it the things that are necessary to run a business, like rent, like insurance, like internet access, electrical, utilities, parking, all the rest of it. You put all that together. And for some reason, incorporating a livable wage for your workers, literally the centerpiece of your production process, you're doing it wrong. You're not budgeting correctly. It'd be like going into a business plan and saying, well, I'm not, this rent, no way I'm paying this rent. Well, yeah, you got to pay it. There shouldn't be any wiggle room then when it comes to the minimum wage, paying your employees the bare minimum they need in order to survive so that they can focus their attention on your business, on their work for your business, instead of having to take a second gig, distracting themselves, becoming exhausted because of it, becoming ornery and angry, because resentful because they have to take a second job over yours, then your employees are dissatisfied. To me, this is a simple thing. So when
your business model means exploiting people and wrecking their lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
The thing that gets on my case is not so much the small business owner, is your large corporations Walmart and McDonald's and others that basically can afford to pay their employees at least $15 an hour, let alone more. But they choose profit over that. The profit margin for a small business is razor thin in general. Walmart, literally, we're subsidizing Walmart's employees so that they can get food stamps that they shouldn't have, that they then spend at Walmart.
Yeah.
it's, you know, that's where that's Bernie Sanders' argument too on the $15 minimum wage. Because McDonald's pays a living wage in other countries.
It's absurd and obscene the way we justify and sacrifice certain things that are completely necessary. There should be much higher priorities in our lives, mm-hmm. in our businesses and so forth, in our household budgets to our corporate budgets and every point in between. Like, we always sacrifice on the human beings because we figure, okay, well, they're humans, they can bend. Or we sacrifice on healthcare. It's like you go into a store and you see vitamins that will help you. You see a bottle of CoQ10 on the shelf and you go, oh my God, that's $18. I can't afford $18 for CoQ10. But then you're paying, you know, $250 a month for fucking cable television. Where's the lopsided priorities here? You can't spend $18 on a bottle of CoQ10 to take care of your heart, but you can spend $250 on cable every month. So there are other ways to make up the difference in, you know, paying your employees the bare minimum wage.
I've worked those shitty jobs at $8.50, $7.50 an hour. And, you know, I worked at Old Navy, which is like a massive corporation, but they were constant and they were very upfront about, like, we can't have you working more than 38 hours because then we have to pay you full time wages and have to give you benefits. So, I mean, and they're like letting you know as they're holding your head under, like, you know, we're doing this so we can make more money and we're cutting back on staff. We're cutting. And it was just.
I worked for a company years ago, a small company. There was only five of us that were employed, I believe, total. And at one point we got a client where I could actually get a decent paycheck. And we were using payroll at that point. And then one of the partners in the company came to me after that job went away and they had less money coming in. I was doing the books. I knew what was coming in, by the way. I knew what was coming in and what was going out. And the partner came to me and said, would you mind going on as an independent contractor? And I said, well, if that's the case, then I'm going to want double my pay because then I have to pay my payroll taxes and your payroll taxes because as a 1099 employee, you pay payroll on both sides. As far as your Medicare and your Social Security, that's double taxed for a 1099 employee.
That's right.
And if I said it, and by the way, if I have to come in at a certain time every day, I'm technically an employee.
That's exactly right.
Independent.
So
is not
if you
part
want me to be an independent contractor, then I'm setting my hours, and you're paying me double. I mean, if you want to, if you want me to be an employee, then you're paying me double, or I'm setting my own hours, and I'm going to only work 4 hours a day.
Yeah, I mean, there's no guarantee that if you start a business that you're going to be able to make all ends meet. There's no, I mean, there are, we've put safety nets into the system, absolutely, but there's no assurance that you're going to be able to make your business work. The thing that is absolutely required for this to make a small business fly, or a large corporation as the case may be, is that you go into it planning accordingly. And so you plan to pay your people a wage that they can survive on. This is, it's basic. It's like, well, yes, we have to get insurance because this is that, health insurance, or there's all kinds of insurance that you're required to buy. And so you incorporate that into the budget too. I don't know why this is such a difficult haul for so many people. And, you know, look, there's not 100% support for it on the left either. There are people on the left who are like, I don't know if my business can afford a $15 minimum wage. Well, then you're doing
it
wrong.
Do you know what tipped workers in Georgia make per hour?
Nothing.
$2.25.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
$2.25 an hour. And if you don't get any tables that day, that's all you make.
Was it Senator Thune today that said when he was a dishwasher, he was earning $6 an hour? It's like now in today's money, he would have been earning $14.50 an hour.
Right.
So and
I fucking hate this whole like baby boomer, like, well, when I was your age, you know, we lived in a lake. We ate cold rocks for breakfast and we were happy about it. You know, why? Okay, so you want to now mete out generational punishment people.
Somebody else said that, like, when they could put themselves through college, but the college tuition at the time was like $900 a year. Now it's $10,000, which is definitely not adjusted for inflation. The $900 would be maybe $5,000 a year now. Mm-hmm. So it's like, come on, guys. You know, and that $10,000 a year to a state school is cheap.
Well, there are ways then too. Let's say you've already established your business and you've already created your business plan around
the current minimum wage.
Yeah, it's like a $7. What is the current minimum wage? $7.25.
$7.25. It has been since the 90s.
Right. So then a minimum wage of $15 gets passed, let's say in this COVID relief bill. Suddenly you have to rejigger how you do things, how you run your books. Well, there are other ways to sacrifice that don't involve fucking over your employees. You know what I mean? This seems to me that's like the last route you want to go. The last thing you want to do is to say to all of your workers who literally make your business move, you guys are all screwed. We can't keep you on anymore. Bye. No. There are other ways to do that. There are other ways to cut back maybe, or to increase sales. You know, that's what you think in terms of being a business owner. That's how you plan for these things. You don't sacrifice the thing that's most important to your business.
That's the American way. Yeah. That's our country right now. Our work culture in this country is so broken in that it's like the humans, the people who are actually doing the work are the most disposable part of the machine.
That's exactly right.
And even at like, you know, semi-executive jobs, like when I was writing for a website, it was still this attitude of you should be glad to have a job at all.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and we can replace you at any time.
Well, I hope that the Senate parliamentarian is going to make a solid ruling on this and allow them to incorporate. And I hope, well, what's going to happen is it's going to happen as soon as we're finished with the show. That's when
probably.
That's when McDonough's going to hand it down.
The other thing, like with Walmart in particular, I don't go to that store. I don't buy from them online if I can avoid it,
good
which I usually do. I mean, sometimes from Amazon, I get something from Walmart and it pisses me off. But they apparently now only have self-checkouts in some of their stores across the country.
Oh, yeah.
See? Why pay more for people?
Well, and the thing is like we have self-checkout in some of our grocery stores and some of our pharmacies here. And it's like, unless my product is less money, I'm going to the checker.
Right.
Just to keep that person employed.
For a corporation like Walmart, there are all kinds of other ways to make up the difference, to be able to pay a $15 minimum wage. Add 5 cents to all of your products on the price of all of your products. And there's your fucking minimum wage for your people.
CEOs have been making money, you know, hand over fist.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And hundreds of millions of dollars.
Hundreds of millions. Yeah. And it's like, oh, and we can't raise the minimum wage to $15 because it's going to raise. Somebody said in D.C., apparently the minimum wage is $15 an hour. And the difference in a Taco Bell like burrito was literally 30 cents.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Easily affordable by anyone.
Completely affordable. You just work it in. I mean, I've been to some restaurants, by the way, for tipped servers. There's some restaurants around here. There are a couple sushi restaurants around here, not that I've been in a while. but Sugarfish in particular, they don't allow tipping because they pay their servers enough.
Oh, okay.
That's so much. I mean, they don't do it in Europe unless it's like a big party and they just tack on a gratuity because it's really like, and
it's hearkening to slave labor.
It is a holdover actually from segregation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Because people would just not pay their black, you know, waiters and or servers, and they would just live off whatever people left on the table. And it's so degrading. I was the worst waiter in the world because I couldn't depersonalize. I couldn't not get my feelings hurt when people would stiff me. And also the weirdest thing was the meaner I was, the more people tipped.
Yeah, my mom and I did that once.
Really?
There was it was in England actually years ago, and this guy just was in a really shitty mood. Yeah. Something was not going right for him that day, and he was terrible. He snapped at us. I mean, it wasn't just like he wasn't a good server. He was just kind of mean, and we were nice. But, hi, thank you. You know, thank you, please. You know, chipper.
Americans.
Yeah. Exactly, right? So he was in a shitty mood. And mom left him like a 50% tip or something.
Mm-hmm.
And as we left the restaurant, he ran out.
Yeah.
And he said, thank you very much. I've been having a very bad day. And I'm so sorry I was mean to you. I didn't mean. And he was just like.
That's great.
he was just having such a bad day, and he took it out on us because Americans were easy targets.
And then you were nicer to him than anyone all day.
And every exactly. And so he was just he ran out and hugged my mom and was just like, "I'm so sorry, thank you so much." And she goes, "Honey, it looked like you were having a bad day."
Well, here's the other thing
I
too.
I love your mom. I'm sorry.
I do too.
A fanboy for a second, you know.
Always.
I need to send you that graphic of her going, "Carol Burnett approves."
Yes.
It's awesome. I love that. I love that so much.
I like, you know, I would walk up to the table and be like, "You people make me sick. Can I tell you about our specials?" And they'd be like, "Take our money here." You know,
that is the Gen X table server. That's who you were. That would be your SNL character.
Be like, "Are we have five coffees character. Today. Because it was a coffee house. And I'd like run down the list of coffees. KDAA is our dark roast. Colombian Supreme is our medium. Our flavor, you know. And then they'd be like, "I just want coffee." I'm like, "I'm sorry. You have to choose."
I'm sorry, we're out of coffee.
"I just want American coffee." "Well, sir, there's no such thing. It's all grown in other countries, so, you know."
Well, here's the thing. 7 states already have the $15 minimum wage.
Yes.
And they're not crashing and burning. It's not like there's some big business crisis in those states. They're going, "Oh my God, we're being destroyed by this $15 minimum wage." And yes, different states have different sized economies. That's a fact. But this is something that's on the way anyway. And just passing the national minimum wage is just going to skip over some steps to get us there in a consistent way, get us across the board to a $15 minimum wage. And I think that's fair enough. And I hope it passes soon, because as you can tell by today's show, I'm having trouble saying the word minimum. So, I mean, the sooner we got to get past this issue. So, because I have a pronunciation
issue. You know
how I was
like saying the skiff, you know, when they go to the skiff, they take the rowboat across the underground cavern in the sunken lake and see the one-eyed wizard. You know, I picture the Senate parliamentarian as basically like George Clinton from Parliament Funkadelic, but like, you know, perched like the caterpillar from Alice in Wonderland, like on a mushroom, being like, I must consider this, you know, and like...
That, but you know what?
We want the funk. Yeah.
That's exactly what she looks like. That's exactly what she is. Elizabeth McDonough is sitting on a giant mushroom and
with colorful braids all the way down her back.
That's right. Surrounded by weird ambient light and sparkles. Yeah. Oh, shit. Well, the House Democrats plan to pass their $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief bill by tomorrow, setting up the Senate to approve the bill with a simple majority and send it to Biden before March 14, when several unemployment programs expire. A ruling from the Senate parliamentarian in her magical chamber is expected soon.
Who are you?
Is expected soon about whether Biden's proposed $15 an hour. Actually, I revised. This is expected 2 seconds after we're done with the show today. That's when that decision will be handed down.
Right.
About the $15 minimum wage. I think it should be included. Meanwhile, more than 150 American companies urged congressional leaders to pass immediate and large-scale federal legislation to address the health and economic crisis brought on by COVID-19 pandemic, saying more must be done to put the country on a trajectory for a strong, durable recovery. And I, quite frankly, I think we're headed in that direction. And the only thing that could fuck that up is if the American voters go bananas again and elect, you know, another Republican for president in a few years. But I mean, save for that, we're going to have a pretty good 20s here. I think what we're looking at is an economy that's going to improve
God, don't jinx it.
In a stable way. Well, look, it was the same thing when Barack Obama became president. We had this slow, steady recovery without many bubbles along the way that could potentially disintegrate.
Well, and with the COVID crisis, I mean, we got to remember the 1918 flu pandemic did follow the roaring 20s. So I do have my flapper dresses and I am relearning the Charleston.
That's right. I mean, everyone's predicting it. There are a lot of forecasts saying that, you know, we could be looking at another roaring 20s. And I think that we're all looking forward to celebrating once this pandemic
is
over.
I'm still too scarred from the last dark timeline. I'm just like, okay, and then COVID-21 will come along.
Oh, yeah, well.
You know, or just, I mean, who fucking knows? Well, Ebola will suddenly make the leap to high transmissibility or something.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the planet is trying to shake us off like fleas. There is no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But I think that, there's two variants in California that are of concern. Then there's the Pfizer apparently is developing a new one-dose vaccine that's supposed to get to the California virus, the B117, the mm-hmm. South Africa virus, and the Brazilian virus. But now there's a new there's a new variant in New York. But Pfizer is looking at getting it not only a one-dose, but can be stored in a regular freezer, not in sub-zero temperatures, and can be refrozen, unlike the current vaccine. So Pfizer and Moderna are on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good news.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing when you think about it. It normally takes like 10 years to make a vaccine for something.
Well, they've been working on this type of thing for 10 years.
Yeah.
And every scientist, every life scientist and biologist on the planet pretty much dropped what they were doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
That's right. And you know what? That proves that we can do lots of things that mm-hmm. seem impossible.
We can do hard things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As long as the people at the top aren't actively throwing wrenches into the gears.
Exactly mm-hmm. fucking right. Exactly right. And you know what? That's one of the more frustrating aspects of... And Jody, I don't need to tell you, one of the most frustrating aspects of the existence of cancer that we uh-huh. still haven't gotten to that point, that there still has not been like a moon mission effort to cure cancer or whatever you want to call it. Some sort
Biden
of
Biden was on that as a vice president. They literally called it Project Moonshot.
Project Moonshot. There you go. Mm-hmm. And in fact, you know, you could loop in things like Parkinson's, Alzheimer's and mm-hmm. so on. And look, if we really put our best feet forward, we could accomplish cures for lots of these things, just like we have accomplished vaccines, multiple vaccines for COVID in less than a year. So,
well, the thing I think with cancer, Alzheimer's, and Parkinson's is mm-hmm. none of those diseases are transmissible.
Right, right. Oh, yeah.
Except for HPV, which causes cancer, but that's from a virus.
Yeah.
So unless we find a correlation between viral loads and cancer and other diseases, there's no money in a cure.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. And I'm not saying that it's not challenging. I'm not I'm not bashing the researchers either. I'm just saying.
I mean, there are people that are trying, but again, pharmaceutical companies, vaccination is a very profitable business.
Oh yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because the people that I know who work in insurance and healthcare and pharma, you know, are like the real money in healthcare is in cholesterol and erectile dysfunction.
Well, yeah, but that's like the plastic surgery of pharmaceuticals.
Vaccines, I mean, vaccines don't make a lot of money.
But they make more money than if you cure somebody.
Yeah, yeah. You
like with HIV stuff and with Hep C stuff now, you can cure somebody with hepatitis C, but it costs $84,000.
Oh my
Whereas,
God.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's
well,
it's,
that's what you have to pay. But like right. the actual drug, because they sell it in you can go to India
nothing.
And it's $1,200.
Yeah, oh, okay. It's nothing. It costs $84,000 in the United States, and had that been around, I would still have two brothers. But but with the HIV medications, where you get your viral load super down, you have to take that daily.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah.
Like birth control, basically,
right.
until you're barren, like I am. But you, and there's a lot of money in those drugs, which is why the HIV cure was never going to come. It was always going to be something along these lines.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I want to talk about.
Well, the thing about, I mean, HIV is a very unusual virus in that it has a skeleton key. Like it will pick the locks and it will change its shape.
Like COVID.
Yeah, but it's more tricky than COVID because it can hide in the organs mm-hmm. in this deep in the body for years before it starts to do its
thing. Same with hepatitis. They're very similar viruses, which is why I think when the hepatitis
But AIDS
C
is constantly changing its protein spikes mm-hmm. or protein code or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so hard to make a vaccine for it because it's like a chameleon. Mm-hmm.
Well, I've got a couple of sad things and an uplifting personal story here on deck for the show today. And I want to talk about that coming up after a short break here. And I'm just prepping you. I'm just saying, you know, it's Chez Day. So I want to talk about Chez here for a second. And a friend, a mutual friend from the Stephanie Miller Show. I want to talk about him, mm-hmm. too. So speaking of Alzheimer's. But before we talk about that, if something mm-hmm. is interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, consider our sponsor, BetterHelp. That's HELP. BetterHelp seeks to provide professional help with ease. It's not a crisis line. This is professional counseling done securely online. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with a licensed professional therapist. Start communicating in under 48 hours, connecting in a safe, private online environment. Send a message to your counselor and receive a timely response. Schedule weekly video or phone sessions, whatever works for you. Anything you share is confidential. And if you want to try a new therapist, it's simple and free to switch. BetterHelp says they're more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. Start living a happier life today. You'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at BetterHelp.com/sexyliberal. Join over 1 million people who've taken charge of their mental health. Go to BetterHelp, that's HELP.com/sexyliberal, and receive 10% off your first month. BetterHelp.com/sexyliberal. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show.
She can't sleep at night. Tosses and turns till the morning light. The world's under, the world's not fair. She can't breathe through the heat in the air. Oh. And it's so hard to see, I know.
Almost don't want to interrupt this. This is
it's beautiful.
Yeah, Bob Malone. It's brand new to the show. There's a song called Good People. BobMalone.com, the traditional spelling of Bob and the traditional spelling of Malone. Bob's played
this is
with,
really like, I'm already starting to cry.
Me
so.
Too.
Wonderful.
He sounds a lot like John Bon Jovi to me.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean,
yeah.
He's played with John Fogerty. He's played with Ringo Starr, Avril Lavigne, Bob Seger, so many others. His recording of You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch was featured in the movie trailer for The Grinch. When that came out. I think that's the Jim Carrey. No, wait. Mm-hmm. It's the animated one. It's the Illumination Universal version. Not the not the creepy Jim Carrey one. This is the the better animated version of The Grinch. Heard by millions on YouTube and in theaters. Again, Bob Malone, Good People. Link in the description to support Bob Malone. Download this song. If you don't have
it's
this in
great.
Your if you don't have this in your music collection by the end of the day, what the hell's wrong with you? Again, BobMalone.com. BobSeska.com/music if you want to submit. Okay.
That's like Louis Armstrong, like, What a Wonderful World, Beautiful.
Yeah.
That really, like, that's an amazing, I hope that song is a massive hit.
Yeah, I know. I mean, he released it.
Mr. Malone, if you're listening, please, like, push.
Yeah, he dropped that song in 2019. So, I mean, it's now we're coming up on 2 years since it came out. Let's get this song onto the charts. Get it onto to the Spotify charts. Lord knows the Spotify charts needs music like this on it. Thank you very much. Okay, so as I said before the break, it is Chez Day, 4 years ago. We lost Chez Pazienza, my co-host here on the show, and a very, very good friend. I mean, you know, I always say that when Chez was on the show, when we were doing the show together, which we did from 2011 on through the beginning of 2017, and I think I spoke to Chez for more time each week, I should say, than I did with my own family, like my own family members. So that's how, you know, that's how close we were. And we, you know, obviously, as we do, Jody and David, we talk before the show, we catch up, we talk about things that never make it onto the show. Sometimes I feel like they should be incorporated into the show, but that was, you know, that was part of the relationship I had with Chez. And, you know, we would go over personal things and support each other. And it's just, it's such a tragedy when you lose someone suddenly like that. And God, I'm never going to forget that night. It was a Saturday night, I believe. And, Kimberly and I had been watching The West Wing, and we were just about to start a new episode on Netflix. And I went to check my text messages, and there were, like, I don't know, 100 text messages from people saying, I'm sorry about Chez. And I was like, oh, my God, what has happened?
And you, like, went to call him. To be like, what happened?
Yeah.
I scrambled to figure, maybe he was in an accident or something, mm-hmm. and is he okay? And then I heard the horrible news.
I'm so sorry.
That he had been sitting in his car, and he had been indulging in some things that he probably shouldn't have, and, you know, mm-hmm. ended up overdosing as a result of that. And it was, I mean, you talk about your world crashing down. I do this show for a living. And, you know, not only was I losing my best friend, but I was losing my partner in developing this show. And then everything was kind of thrown into chaos. And I was unsure, do I even continue doing the show in the first place? Mm-hmm. But, you know, obviously, you know, thoughts about the fucking podcast were vastly secondary to everything else. Is Taryn okay? Is his mom okay? Are his daughters okay? Right. Chez had two daughters, one very young. And, you know,
I met her too. She was so sweet.
Inara is lovely. And that's one of the reasons, you know, why I still kind of, at the beginning of every After Party podcast, I still pay a little bit of a tribute to Chez and his family by continuing to use the voice of his daughter Inara at the beginning, saying welcome to the After Party and giggling and so on. And that's part of the opening production elements on the After Party on Fridays. But
with Chez, I feel like this guy that went to my high school, that he knew this other guy at school, and they got along and they knew each other, but they didn't know each other super well. And then the guy was killed in a car accident, and when he died, it turned out his mother revealed that they actually had the same father, that the kid who died's person that he grew up thinking was his dad was not his biological father. Mm-hmm. And so this guy at my school found out that somebody was his half brother when he died.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to have to,
Are you okay?
Yeah, I just found out one of my cousins died.
Oh, no. Oh, that's awful. Do you need to go, Jody?
Yeah, do you mind?
No, not at all. I'm so sorry. I mean,
oh, Jody.
My God.
I love you so much. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's my cousin, Pat. Oh, man. Okay. All right, you guys, I'll talk to you guys next week. I love you.
I love you, Jody. Take care.
I'm sorry,
bye.
Jody.
Okay.
I love you back.
All right, there she goes. Oh, geez.
Well, let's just have a good cry real quick.
Yeah, let's do, you know what? Good idea. Not a bad idea. I'm like halfway there. Well, as if that wasn't all bad enough, we just learned last night that Jim Ward from the Stephanie Miller show not only has been battling in one of the most severe ways possible, COVID, for the past year. I guess you call them people who've been battling
long
that long.
Hauler.
Long hauler. Yeah, exactly right. But on top of that, he's got, from what I understand, Alzheimer's or some other form of dementia. And, you know, so he's in physical therapy, learning to walk, learning to talk, things like that. The COVID was extraordinarily severe. This is one of the things where, look, if you're gauging the severity of COVID on the death rate, you're kind of doing it wrong. Because it's not just the people who die. It's the people who survive it. The long haulers who are dealing with the side effects from it. They're not succumbing to it, but it's dramatically affecting their lives in the long run. And so if you're willy-nilly still walking around, shirking your responsibility to your country and your society, how fucking dare you? You have to do what is right. You have to think about not just yourself, but your entire country, your entire planet, for a change. I know it's hard to not indulge ourselves sometimes, but seriously, we all have to do our part. And if you're, again, if you're focused on the absolute worst case scenario, you're missing all kinds of horrible shit. And all you got to do is go check out Jim Ward's Facebook page with an entire description of what he's been going through for the past year. And you will know what it's like to not die from COVID, but still be dramatically impacted from this fucking awful, awful virus that has affected us all in some way or another in the past year. And it's certainly it's been predicted that we were all going to be impacted by it. And it's just fucking horrible. Horrible from top to bottom. I don't know if you wanted to add anything to that, David, because I know, you know what, credit where credit is due. Long before we started talking about it actively on this show, you were urging us to talk about it on this show.
And this is the thing. They were like, no one could have seen this coming. No, everything I have read about pandemics in the last dozen years, and I'm kind of a nerd about this. Like, I read about epidemiology all the time. I've read more books about the bubonic plague than probably most people have read, you know, John Grisham novels. Like, And everyone's been saying, we're about ready for, it's about time for a pandemic. And they just, and as soon as I started hearing novel pathogen in Wuhan, I just knew like this was coming and it was going to impact all our lives. And, you know, I started buying like non-perishables because I didn't know what was going to happen. But it so didn't have to be this way. But, you know, Bob, can we take like just a 15-minute break? I'm still trying to process what just happened to Jody. And I hear how sad her voice was right then. And I need to take a minute.
Okay, so, yeah, like, sure, sure. We can take a 15-minute break.
It's 1:55. I'll meet you back here at 2:05.
At 2:05, perfect. Okay, yeah, no problem.
Okay, I just, I think I need to cry.
Okay, yeah, I understand. I totally understand. Go do that, and we'll pick up where we left off.
I'll be right back. I'm not even going to log out. I'm just going to put my headphones down.
Okay, you got it.
I'll be back.
Okay. Well, you okay? You all right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're started up again. We're moving forward. Here's a positive story to counterbalance the previous 5 or 10 minutes. So I don't know if you're familiar with my... I've lived through two house fires. Yeah, one was a gas explosion, which is kind of an amazing thing that I even survived. My mom got me out of the house before the whole house blew up. And then... Then, nine years later,
action movie. I'm imagining her like striding away from the house with a baby.
That's almost exactly what happened. She walked right across all this broken glass because the windows had all blown out in the house before she got out. Big hole in the wall had been blown out, and she actually ran out through the hole in the wall onto the front lawn and beyond. So it was like an action movie. But then in 1981, the house burned down from an electric fire. And in the process, I lost all of my Star Wars action figures. You know, my first generation vintage late 70s Star Wars action figures. The entire collection was shrinky-dinked and melted down. And then what happened to the replacement figures I bought, because, of course, I was still a kid and there were still a few more movies to come out, and I bought the toys again. Well, in a tragic divorce, I was moving out of my house, and I grabbed the wrong bin to load into the moving van. And so in the correct bin, the bin that I didn't take with me, were my replacement Star Wars action figures. So once again, I lost all of my Star Wars action figures. And so the other day on Instagram, I posted this photograph of the card back from a vintage Star Wars action figure. Like, it was the collect all 77 image with the yellow background and then a photo of all of the Star Wars action figures all lined up with their names and everything and numbered and all the rest of it. I posted that on Instagram just because it's fun to look at. And as a result of that, this guy I've known for years online, through Facebook, and certainly through his work with what I'm about to talk about, this guy named Tim Eldred, who's not only a subscriber here on Patreon, but also has been following my work on Facebook and so on for years and years and years. Tim Eldred DM'd me on Facebook with a photograph of his vintage Star Wars action figures and said, "Do you want these?" And I said, well, making,
oh, a, hell yes.
Making a long story short, I said, oh, yes. Oh, yes. I will take them off of your hands if you want to get rid of them. Are you sure? And he said, yes, of course, you can have them. And I was,
what?
I was blown away. This was an act of generosity that you seldom see, if ever. I mean,
no, this is like he's handing you your childhood back.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. And that's what I told him. I said, I can't describe to you how grateful I am. And there's a sentimental value to this gesture that it carries such weight with me emotionally that, you know, I'm just so immensely grateful to Tim Eldred for doing this. And so I want to, at least in return, and they arrive on Tuesday. I can't fucking wait. At least in return, I want to plug the shit.
So cute.
I know. I'm a Gen X kid. I'm born 1971, saw Star Wars when it first came out in 1977, and have been obsessed ever since.
No, I remember when the first 7 action figures came out. And I bought, my first one I got was an R2-D2.
Oh, you did? I got the first one I got was C-3PO. How about that shit? I remember that very distinctly. I bought it at
Memco. I've been waiting for you, R2, and you've been waiting for me, 3PO, all your life, really.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Typical.
Yeah. There was a chain of stores in Northern Virginia called Memco. I remember, you know, buying my first C-3PO action figure. My mom bought it for me when we went to Memco. And I will never forget that purchase. That's just one of those things. So this guy, Tim Eldred, turns out he is an accomplished animator, accomplished comic book artist. He is, I knew of Tim Eldred even before we met through social media, because I had one of his, he maintains the world's largest Star Blazers website called Cosmo DNA.
Is that that Japanese thing with the ship?
Yeah, from the 1970s. It was one of the great
Star
dramatic.
Star Blazers.
Exactly fucking right. And so he's one of the standard. He worked for Voyager Entertainment, which has the domestic rights for Star Blazers. And so before I even met Tim, I had one of his Star Blazers drawings blown up to poster size and framed on the wall of my office. And then it turned out we ended up connecting over Star Blazers. And you've got to go and visit his website, timeldred.com. It's got comic art, animation. He's maintained the world's largest Star Blazers website. He did work on Batman Brave and the Bold, which is one of the great Batman animated series. Holy shit. So I am so grateful to Tim Eldred. So please do me a personal favor. If you love this show, go and look at his website. Spend some time over there. Bookmark it if you want to. And there's lots of good things to go back into and dig into. Once you've seen the website already, you can go back and find out more things. Check out his work. Check out the original comics that he's created. And just all kinds of amazing comic art and animation going on over there. TimEldred.com. That's Eldred. I'm going to put a link in the description for you to click on and to support his work. Tim, you did me an incredible favor, and I'm so grateful. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, so now that
that's really amazing. I'm still kind of agog. Like, you know, I was just thinking about, I had the land speeder, which ran on those little spindly wheels.
But it
like it was floating.
Yep.
I had the Death Star placed it with the trash compactor with all the styrofoam garbage. And then
yes, I remember all that stuff distinctively. And it's just such a part. If you're a Gen Xer like we are, it's such a part of your life, the existence of Star Wars and the fandom around Star Wars, especially for those of us who were boys at the time. And it just had such an appeal, such an exciting
I had a much younger person start fucking with me about being old. And I was like, I saw Star Wars in the theater.
Okay, so our very special segment has now concluded. We're going to take a short break and come back and wrap up the show right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
I think this is a band that, David, you introduced me to. This is Vision Video.
It's Vision Video, isn't it? I love them.
Abso-fucking-lutely, yeah. This
my
is
my neighbor.
Song called Inked in Red from their In My Side single. So it's a single with, you know, it's like a traditional single. It's got the main song, which is called In My Side, and it's got this song as the B-side. But there is no B-side anymore because it's all the same side with digital. So it's,
there was always a way that bands could like sneak in something kind of subversive.
Yeah,
I know. Like you could put out a hit single and the B-side is something really weird.
Yeah.
Peter Gabriel was great for that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I've decided too that I think we're going to end the show with a full playing of Bob Malone's track here, Good People. I think we're going to wrap up the show. After we're done doing the end credits and everything and the closing theme music and whatever.
I finally managed to get like the tears and snot under control, and you're going to hit me with that song again.
You know what? You can pull a Chez and just throw your headphones off and say, I'm not going to listen to this. Because I remember one of the things that used to happen with Chez all the time is I was really into the sound of the screaming goats. Remember that was a like a viral meme going around?
Yeah.
Everyone was taking video of the screaming goats. And I thought the sound was hilarious. And of course, this is a show that's all about the sound. So I used to play the screaming goats whenever there was a new one that would pop up. And Chez would be, you could hear Chez throw his headphones off. So, I don't know what, I'm not going to listen to this. We get so disgusted with the sound of the screaming goats. So it became a thing where I would actually troll him with the screaming. I would now seek out screaming goat sound to play because I knew it annoyed him. That's the kind of brotherly relationship that we had.
The couple that I lived with in New Orleans, the husband hated the Smiths.
Oh, yeah.
And just hated. And so I chased him around. Because I have this dead, accurate Morrissey impression. I'm like, belligerent ghouls run Manchester schools. You know, he's just like, stop, stop. You know, like,
yeah,
come to wish you an unhappy birthday. You know. Like.
So, suffice to say, you know, Rand Paul doesn't understand anything about anything. I think this is all clear to all of us. We know this. Rand Paul's a fucking idiot with his goddamn fake hair and his ridiculous indiscriminate
accent.
No, the
hair is real. I don't think that like the hair is, if that's not real, then someone is robbing him blind.
Oh yeah, no, it's real. And no, it's fake. It's fake. It's absolutely a toupee.
Yeah. Oh my God, he pays money for that?
See, now I have this special gift. This is my superpower. I'm like a member of the X-Men, and I can spot a toupee from a mile away. It's just the sixth sense that I have. And I have looked at his fucking hair. I've spent way too much of my time looking at Rand Paul's hair. And I have determined by looking at it up close, enlarging photos. I've been examining pictures of Rand Paul like the Zapruder footage. And I have determined that, yes, in fact, he does wear a toupee. And I guess he just likes the crumpled, disheveled look because that's what it is. It just kind of sets on top of
his. He's such a slob.
His actual hair is more like, if you go look at a picture of his dad, if you go look at a picture of Ron Paul, that's the hairline.
Do I have to?
No.
I'd so much rather go look at pictures of RuPaul.
There's no requirement that you have to look at Ron Paul. I'm just saying, if you're weird and you're curious like I am, then you can. But on a serious note, Rand Paul, there was a hearing yesterday in the Senate about trans rights. And they had, I think they had a trans woman testifying and all the rest of it. Rand Paul was describing transition surgery as genital mutilation. He is denigrating the struggle to eliminate actual genital mutilation from this fucking planet because it happens too goddamn often. And it happens to children against their will, mostly girls. And it is a horrifying practice. And Rand Paul believes that if you're having gender reassignment,
fake hair is mad because it's not natural.
I don't know. I don't know. But this is
quote unquote natural.
This is a little bit of Rand Paul. You know, we started the show talking about Scottish accents. I still have not been able to figure out Rand Paul's accent. It is some sort of weird hybrid between, I don't know, it sounds a little Canadian.
It's just so Southern college stoner.
Yeah, I think that's kind
that's
of
what
it
is. He's got kind of, I mean, go ahead and roll it.
Okay, here's
just
a little.
Just pretend he's completely baked while
he's
talking.
Yeah, exactly. That's what this sounds like.
Genital mutilation has been nearly universally condemned. Genital mutilation has been condemned by the WHO, the United Nations Children's Fund, the United Nations Population Fund. According to the WHO, genital mutilation is recognized internationally as a violation of human rights. Genital mutilation is considered particularly egregious because, as the WHO notes, it is nearly always carried out on minors and is a violation of the rights of children.
Okay, you know, I'm going to stop it there. First of all, because this is so utterly fucking toxic, what he is saying here.
It would be like me going to a hearing on like heart attack survivors and talking about prostate cancer. Like, I mean, right. These are like two totally unrelated, or like talking about like, you know, sink repair.
Yeah.
Like, it just is completely.
It doesn't make
unrelated
any sense.
Related topics.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
And he's so smug.
And is he doing anything about actual genital mutilation that's going on?
No.
Is he making any stride toward that? No, of course not. You're exactly right. He's not doing a goddamn thing about it other than to compare transition surgery with genital mutilation. You're exactly right. There is no comparison.
That's, like, it's so typically boomer, though.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know, they think that, you know, the gender is defined by our genitals.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, that's sex.
Yeah, yeah.
those are two different things, and gender is a construct. But, I mean, he's just going for the most reactionary, like, drunk at the corner of the bar.
That's right.
Talking out his ass. Viewpoint he possibly could, and it's meant to be shocking, and he'll fundraise on this when
mm-hmm.
the outrage comes.
Oh yeah, you know,
which
of course,
inevitably will, and he'll be like, "I'm being canceled by the liberal mafia."
This is just another. I mean, they're exploiting trans Americans as yet another wedge issue. This is the resurrection of the bathroom bills and so on, and they're, you know, Georgia in particular. I don't know if you're aware of this, David. We talked about it on Tuesday's show with Buzz. Georgia Republicans have introduced a law before the state legislature that would create a panel of three physicians who would examine girls' genitals.
Yeah, this is not going to happen.
Yeah.
That's just going to get shut. They're just posturing. That's just political kabuki.
Right,
because
right.
they know that their time is up.
Yeah, exactly.
The next time we have a voting cycle, they're all out because Georgia's a blue state now.
Yeah. I mean, that's
so
and that's,
they're just throwing shit at the wall to fundraise on.
Shit like this tends to sneak its way in to law while we're not looking. So it's just one of the reasons why I think it's important to bring it up. Meanwhile, here is...
That's just so like Dr. Mengele.
It really is. Like, yeah.
We must examine your genitals to see if you are fit to go into the bathroom.
It's,
you know,
it's so just, fucking like, ridiculous. And you know what it is? This is a way to intimidate trans girls out of participating in high school sports. It's the entire goal of it. Because,
or in high school at all.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is the point of this is to say, look, if you want to play basketball, you trans girl, you deviant, perverse, weirdo, you. I mean, that's kind of what the Republicans are saying. If you want to do this, we're going to have to examine your genitals first. In front of a panel of three strangers.
See, you know, gender reassignment, like people, there's all kinds of stages, and not every trans person goes through a genital restructuring is pretty hardcore, and it's kind of like late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I don't want to overgeneralize, but trans people, it's a spectrum.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of, you know, so it's just, you know, and expecting someone in their teens to get genital gender that is like genital. I mean, that's, but that's not, I mean.
And you also take into consideration the fact that the people who are trying to implement this, if they're at all serious, and I think what you said was absolutely true, this is posturing, this is pandering. But in terms of actually trying to legitimize this as a real law that should be passed, what they're doing is they're taking youth sports way too seriously. I mean, if you are so dedicated,
dude, youth sports is a fucking religion here.
Yeah, well,
it's
imagine being in Texas with football, for example, Friday Night Lights. I mean, that's a great case study in how fanatical people are about youth sports. I think it's dangerous, and I'm not here to try to propose some law against youth sports or anything like that, but I just, as a general philosophy, I find that kind of media attention and so on. I mean, when I was first working in radio, the radio station I worked for used to broadcast all the high school football and basketball games on the radio and treat them as if we're talking about NFL first round draft picks.
Yeah.
And so that's a lot of pressure for people who barely have their driver's licenses. You know what I mean?
And look at what happens to someone like Tiger Woods, who's been subject to this intense pressure and media scrutiny for, you know, all through his formative years.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
Although I had to get mad because everyone was like, I bet he's on drugs. And I'm like, you know what? Sober people have car accidents too.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, it just makes me crazy if like someday I swerve to miss a deer or something, everyone's going to be like, oh, he must be using again. You know, it's just like, but.
Well, here's, I mean, the reason I'm going down this route with kind of criticizing how seriously people take youth sports is the fact that if there is a trans girl who wants to play high school basketball, people are concerned that the competition is going to be lopsided because she is genetically male with, you know, maybe some degree of testosterone already coursing through. Maybe she's grown a little bit larger because of that. And people are like, oh my God, we can't have this larger girl playing with all the regular size girls.
Because it won't be fair.
It won't be fair. Exactly
right. It won't be fair. When do you fuckers care about fair?
You know? Like, oh shit. Oh God, that's so well said.
Aren't you the anti-participation trophy folks? Yeah. Like, you know, some free market survival of the fittest.
Right, right. So it's such bullshit. And so now,
it's,
you know,
pretty comical for them to be talking about leveling any kind of playing field.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And so on top of a bullying problem that already exists, where trans people are getting bullied to the point where they're committing suicide, we're adding this. We're turning it into a, you know, a U.S. Congress hot potato on top of, you know, if we go back to Rand Paul, but that's on top of some of these ridiculous state level laws. So there, there's that. It's just another fucking thing that the toxic Republican Party is injecting into the discourse. But meanwhile, speaking of that, Louis DeJoy was on the Hill for hearings yesterday. He said he plans to run USPS for a long time, quote unquote. And he said, get used to me. This motherfucker.
Needs two words.
He needs to go. Yes.
Two words. Just fuck that.
Fuck that.
President Biden is nominating three new members of the Postal Board of Directors or Postal. What is it? Is it generals? Postal. I don't know.
Yeah. No. He's the. Yeah. He's the Postmaster General, and then I think it's the Board of Directors. I want to say that determines. Well, you know, but the president has a significant amount of sway over this Board of Directors, and I don't know why. To me, this guy should have been fired day one, like January 21st. Bye-bye, Board of Directors, and subsequently, bye-bye, Postmaster General Louis fucking
DeGumba. Yeah, they're being very patient with him.
He's like a mobster. He's got that Brooklyn accent, man. And when I hear that, it just screams. That's why I'm playing the Godfather.
I didn't even
music.
Get that far. I think he's like a just basically a Boyle personified. You know, like
so
he's like a giant pink hemorrhoid in a tie.
Yeah, and by way of a plug, Kimberly's mom, Ann Werner, who's an accomplished author, she wrote a great piece about all of this yesterday on her Patreon page. So
and I was on Kimberly's show yesterday if you want to go get some more T-Rex.
But again, it's patreon.com/AnnWerner. That's W-E-R-N-E-R. And the traditional spelling man, A-N-N. Washington Post reported yesterday that Louis DeJoy told a House panel on Wednesday that his forthcoming strategic plan for the U.S. Postal Service may include slowing first-class mail and removing a significant amount of mail from air transportation. Go fucking fuck yourself. This guy should be in fucking prison for what he has done for the past year. During a fucking deadly pandemic where we all rely on the mail to get prescriptions, to food, to supplies, to live, to toilet paper, for God's sake, we're using the mail. We're using the mail to vote. And he decided, oh, fuck it. I'm cutting back. I'm making sure that the mail is completely unusable. And that's what he did. And he actually accomplished that goal. And it's a. And
all
it's
I could really do is quote Lily Allen. Fuck you very, very much.
Wait, did you
and
just.
And we really hate you. And we hate your whole crew.
Wait, so did you just quote.
Stay in touch.
You're quoting.
Woody Allen?
Woody. Oh, you're quoting Woody
Lily Allen.
Oh, who?
No. Lily Allen.
Lily singer. Allen. Okay. I was going to say, you're quoting Woody Allen. I was like, what timing, David. But no, okay.
I've
Lily Allen.
I've never been a fan of that guy. And
yeah.
It does not surprise me at all. He's a fucking creep.
Well, Kimberly and I are going to talk about Allen V. Pharaoh, the new documentary series on HBO. We're going to be talking about that on the After Party tomorrow because we're checking that out, and it is disturbing, suffice to say. I don't know how the hell Woody Allen's going to wiggle out of this one, but he's managed to, you know, kind of walk through the raindrops so far. I mean, I don't know, but he's definitely a really extraordinarily fucked up, creepy creeper. No two ways about that. I mean, there, Dylan Farrow's story seems really on the level. I mean, she doesn't seem like she's making it up. And it looks like, what's his name? Ronan Farrow backs up Dylan's story. So we shall see. Yes.
I just remember I was trying to watch some Woody Allen movie when I was in college, and I was just like, God, this is boring. If I wanted to listen to a bunch of Yankees whine, I'd go to the deli. You know,
like, so you're seeing it as a regional thing. It is regional. I guess he is a regional director. That's true.
It's so neurotic and Northeastern, and it's just like, I don't know. It's just like, really, you have time for this?
Yeah,
I don't.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the reasons why Woody Allen has managed to, as I said, walk through the raindrops for so many years on these allegations is the fact that people don't want to believe that he did these things because they admire his films so much. And it's no excuse. No excuse.
Yeah, those are two, you can have both those notions in your head at once.
Yeah, it's the same with Bill Cosby. You know, his stand-up was killer. He was a major influence in most of the comedians we love today. But he was a fucking rapist, a serial rapist. And so, you're going to have to square these things away because I don't think doing some great stand-up, irrespective of how significant it was, that doesn't erase the fact that he was a serial rapist. I'm sorry. So the fact that he was a serial rapist, a lot more horrifying than the quality of his stand-up, or a lot more horrifying than his stand-up was great. You know what I mean? So anyway, best to Jody Hamilton and her family. What a goddamn tragedy. And
best to you guys listening. Thank you so much.
Yes, indeed.
Supporting us. We really like, this has been a lifeline for me. We'll talk more about that in the after show.
I hope you enjoy the, very special episode of the Bob Seska Show today.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Astral Summer, David's music project is found at astralsummer.bandcamp.com. Go and support his music. It's some great, great, amazing work. You know, make one of his songs. Make a Sad Season the song of the summer, maybe. Take care, folks.
Oh, we have a new song for that. I'll tell you about it in a minute.
Gotcha.
Hey, Rich, you can't sleep at night. Tosses and turns till the morning light. Not fair. She can't breathe through the heat in the air. And it's so hard to see, I know. When you finally run out of hope. But there's good people everywhere. There's good people everywhere.
but it's out there. 'Cause there's good people everywhere. There's good people everywhere. There's good people everywhere. When it seems like someone's always getting in your face, shooting at the place, making you short faith in the human race. Just remember, there's good people everywhere.
Everywhere.
Just remember, there's good people everywhere.
Hold it, don't nobody move. One last thing here. We're so grateful that vaccinations for COVID-19 are underway. While we're nearing the finish line for this brutal pandemic, getting there means staying safe. For the foreseeable future, only respirator face masks provide real protection from transmission. Unfortunately, the huge demand and limited supply of respirators means we're flooded with fakes and counterfeits that do almost nothing. Right now, thenewdealshop.com has FDA-authorized N95 respirator masks with anti-fraud labeling on every single package that can be verified right on the manufacturer's website. They're listed in the United States by the NPPTL and provide the most significant level of protection. These respirator masks are in stock in the U.S. and ship immediately for free. Go to thenewdealshop.com now and get verified, authenticated, FDA-authorized N95 masks shipped immediately to your home or business. That's thenewdealshop.com, thenewdealshop.com. Go now.